Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar, Real Estate-Backed Lending with Trust Deeds. Before we get started, I do have to read a brief disclosure. The NTrust Group does not provide investment advice or endorse any products. All information and materials are for educational purposes only. All parties are encouraged to consult with their attorneys, accountants, and financial advisors before entering any type of investment. Today's agenda, we will introduce self-directed IRAs. We'll learn how to understand the basics of trust deeds. Analyzing advantages and drawbacks, mitigating risk with due diligence, and learn how to get started. My name is Tony Uncle. I will be your host today. I've been with the NTrust Group for a little over 5 years, and I educate investors and professionals on tax-preferred retirement accounts with the essential tools to make informed decisions in alternative investments. Who is the NTrust Group? We are self-directed IRA administrators. We have knowledgeable staff with CISP certifications. We host monthly educational webinars and provide an annual IRA academy. A little bit about NTrust, if you're not familiar with us. We currently have a little over $5 billion in assets under administration. We have empowered over 45,000 investors, providing 40 plus years of service. And we offer one single point of contact for all NTrust clients, depending on your region. Time to introduce self-directed IRAs. What is a self-directed IRA? Self-directed IRA is simply a retirement account in which the individual is solely in charge of making all investment decisions. Self-directed IRAs provide greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of your traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. All securities and investments are held in a retirement account administered by a regulated custodian or trustee. At this time, we would like to turn it over to Dave Goldberg, and he will take care from the investor source talking about trustees.
Thank you very much, Tony, and welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being on today. My name is David Goldberg. My company is the Investor Source. We have been making trust deed loans for 12 years now, based in Loveland, Colorado. This is completely an educational webinar. And if I use the word we, it might be referring to my company, but it's also take it as referring to all trust deed investors in general. So what is a trust deed? Many of you know this. Trust deeds are also called deeds of trust, mortgages. They are commercial loans secured by real property, often to flippers, all kinds of investors and builders. You'll also hear the term hard money loans, and those are synonyms for trust deed loans as well. An example of a trust deed loan would be somebody comes to you needing $100,000 to purchase a property. They're going to put another $50,000 in to fix it up, then sell it for $250,000 and walk away with roughly $100,000 profit. These are not loans made for residential purposes to owner-occupants, only for commercial purposes, and many, many different types of investment opportunities with trust deeds. They are almost always in first position, sometimes in a junior position, but you really want to stay away from those if possible. Sometimes they can be great, but first position is always best. short term, usually 6 months to 12 months. That's because the borrowers are borrowing from you to purchase, fix it up, build it. Then they're going to get out of the loan either by selling it or refinancing it. Because of the unusual nature of the loans, they don't fit into the typical bank lending box. Higher rates are charged for trust deed loans. And as mentioned, the loans are paid off by either reselling the property or selling the property, flipping it, or refinancing it. So trust deeds are a quick in and out and then moving on to the next loan. Why invest in trust deeds? What are some of the advantages? Well, first of all, they are secured by real property, and it's difficult these days to find loans that are actually secure, have a hard asset securing them, and you get that with a trust deed investment. You get the property securing it. They are liquid. Let's say, for instance, you were investing in real estate or even in a REIT. Your money is tied up for years and you have to wait to get your money back. With trust deeds, often, usually the projects complete within 9 to 12 months, sometimes quicker. And there is a monthly interest payment in general, an interest only payment. So you have some cash flow coming to you as well. Trust deeds are appropriate in a appreciating market or a depreciating market. Obviously, you'd prefer an appreciating market, but if the market goes down a little bit, you should still be protected as long as you have a nice cushion built into your loan. So for instance, if you lent $70,000 on a $100,000 property and the market goes down even 20%, that property is now worth $80,000, your loan is $70,000, should be no problem getting you paid off. And in an IRA, it makes sense. You're going to get all the benefits of investing in an IRA. Your money is going to grow tax-free. The gains that you're making from the trust deed investment will continue to grow tax-free. So lots of advantages. Oh, actually a couple more. If you invest in, use a broker or a pooled lending fund, your investments will be professionally managed. So you're working with someone who has experience and has kind of been through the ins and outs and all the little quirks of investing in investment real estate. Also investing with a purpose. I would say that many of the lenders that I've seen who do trust deed investing love the idea of making a difference in communities, in building housing, and also in making the dreams come true of the investors that they work with. So there is some purpose to it. You're not just putting your money into a stock that you really know nothing about. So there are three primary ways to invest in trust deeds. Making loans yourself, using a broker, and investing in a pooled lending fund. I'm going to talk about the advantages of each and compare them to each other. And as I'm talking about the advantages, you'll hear some of the disadvantages of each one as well. Making trust deed loans yourself, the biggest draw to that is arguably the most income potential, because you would get to keep the points. So the points, of course, are charged generally on the front end. They're a percentage of the loan amount. Very typical in trust deed investing to charge 2 or 3 points or 2 or 3% of the loan. And if you are making your own loans, you don't want to lose out on that income stream. The points add significantly to your return. You have the most control over loan choice. If you're in a pooled lending fund, basically you're going by what the fund manager is, the loans that the fund manager is going to fund. And when you're making your own loans, you get to decide which loans you're going to fund. You're building your own business, not relying on a fund or a broker to build their business, but you're building your business, and eventually your borrowers are going to seek you out, tell their friends, and you'll have a nice, hopefully have a nice business going where people know that you're in the lending business. And a lot of investors like to have their name directly on the promissory note and deed of trust. And with a, when you're doing it yourself, generally your name goes right on it. Sometimes if you're, well, actually always when you're making your own loans, your name will go on the promissory note and deed of trust. And as compared to a pool lending fund, no accreditation requirements, you just make the loan. There's really no licensing requirements either, unless you get into a large number of trust deed loans, at which point there could be some licensing requirements. Okay, advantages of making loans through a broker. Professional management, so you can avoid the pitfalls of lending. And believe me, there are many of them. Just like in any field, there are things that you have to learn. And the beauty and also the one of the risks of this business is that every single loan is very different. So you have to be extremely careful every step of the way. When you have professional management, hopefully those managers will have either made the mistakes or acknowledged that there are many potential areas to make mistakes. So you got to be real careful. Probably the biggest advantage of using a broker is to save you your time and work. There is a tremendous amount of time that goes into every loan that you do. I've counted up to 100 steps to do a loan right from the, the title work that you have to do, the loan documents, the due diligence on their borrower, the deal, the administration of the rehab or construction funds. It goes on and on, the things that you need to do it right. And if you're going to be doing trust deed loans yourself, just be prepared to put the time in that you need to do it right. And by the way, I'll mention to you, I know investors who do all of the different types of lending. They do it on their own, they do it with a broker, and they do it in a pool lending fund. And nothing wrong with having multiple channels in which to do trust deed investing. You, with a broker, you do get to actively participate in loans you're going to fund. The broker will find loans that meet your profile, run them by you, and you can decide if you want to fund those loans. And you also get your name on the promissory note and deed of trust. Using a broker, you're most likely going to get more deal flow than you get on your own. And again, you can do some loans on your own, use a broker as well. A good broker will have no problem with that, and that will add to your deal flow if you do want to do them on your own too. And much more control and participation than in a pool lending fund. Although a good pool lending fund manager will keep you very apprised of what's going on in the fund, so you know exactly what's happening all the time. And no accreditation requirements with a broker. The advantages now of investing in a pool lending fund, professional management again. It's the most passive, so it's going to require the least amount of your time. You're not going to have to look over deals from a broker to decide which ones you want. You are basically putting your trust in the fund manager, but that, again, will require the least amount of your time. So a lot of investors like that passive investing. You're going to get the greatest amount of diversification, because what happens in a pool lending fund is you are investing in many loans. Each of them, your money will actually go into every single loan that's in the fund. So there'll be a diversity of types of loans. And also, if any single loan doesn't perform, either temporarily or it's just a non-performing loan, which you hope is rare, There will be many other loans in the fund to kind of hedge that potential loss, if you will, from a loan. Hopefully you're not going to get into too many situations where there are a loss, but it's good to have that pool around you that spreads the risk around. And your investment is working 24/7. A lot of investors tend to forget when they're making their own loans or through a broker. It's great when the loan is active, but once it pays off, there's invariably going to be time in between loans where your money is not working, and that will bring down your total return for the year. In a pool lending fund, it's working all the time. And counterintuitively, investing in a pool lending fund is often the least amount required, even though you might have the requirement of being an accredited investor. And the reason for that is in a loan that you're funding yourself or through a broker, often you need $100,000 to $250,000 to fund that loan in its entirety. And in a pool lending fund, since everybody is putting money into the fund, often or many times the minimum investment is as low as $50,000 with all the funds are pooled. So therefore, a high investment from any one investor is not required. When you're making loans, you want to make sure you've probably all heard this, do your due diligence. There are risks involved in loans, but the more due diligence that you do, the more that you're going to mitigate those risks. So you actually want to make sure you're doing your due diligence on the deal, on the borrower, and if you are going to use a broker, on the broker as well. So with the deal, one of the risks is overvaluation of the property. Really, everything starts off with valuating the property correctly. And if you miss on that, if you're off by $100,000 or something like that, you're going to lend too much, it's not going to be a good situation. So do everything you can to use an outside source to do a valuation, meaning either get an appraisal or a broker price opinion so you can really confirm that value. The second thing is if you are lending on a rehab loan, a fix and flip, or a construction project, which many trustee loans are, you need to make sure you hit the budget right on the nose. If you skimp on the budget and there's not enough, you're gonna come to a situation where you get to the end and there's just not enough money to complete the project. You don't wanna go into that situation. So I recommend have a budget meeting, go through every budget line very carefully, and make sure that budget is adequate. Title issues, you don't want obviously other deeds of trust on the property or any other liens. So make sure you work with a title company and get title insurance and make sure there's free and clear title. And then you wanna keep on top of the market as well. You know, markets change all the time. So you wanna be aware of what is happening in the market you're investing in. Speak to as many people as you can, real estate agents, brokers, the appraiser, about what's happening in that market. And I would recommend, at least when you're starting off, lend in markets that you're comfortable with and familiar with. Okay, then you'll do due diligence on the borrower. I think the days of just making loans based on the property itself are kind of over. Most lenders are gonna make sure that they are doing their due diligence on the borrower as well. Very important. So make sure you're checking on what kind of credit risk they are, pull a credit report, do a criminal background check. Credit reports, the credit score will mean something, but I think even more importantly, you're just gonna get an overall feel of if this is a person who you can rely on to make their payments. If they have a pattern of not making payments that they can get away with, probably not someone you want to work with. And character is important. So you want to make sure you know who you're dealing with. I highly recommend meeting the borrower at the property, preferably check references, and also do social media checks. I like to tell the story of a deal that came to us with a woman out in Nebraska or in Colorado, right on the Nebraska borderline. I did a social media check, and a whole bunch of articles came up about how this woman and her boyfriend were accused of murder. She was not found guilty, but there were a lot of circumstances around the situation, such as the well in her front yard had been covered in with concrete. So we did the loan. We just charged more points. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't do the loan, and that's, you just want to make sure you are very much aware of who you're working with. And make sure there's enough liquidity from your borrower that if their budget goes over or the project goes on longer and they have to make payments, you're not stuck with someone who can't make their interest payments. Then you want to do your due diligence. If you're going to work with a broker or invest in a pool lending fund, obviously you want to know who you're working with. So a couple of things to look for: check out their experience and track record. Talk to other people if possible, get references, and find out what kind of loans they've made in the past and how successful they have been. Make sure they're transparent. They're not going to just tell you the good things that are going on, but make sure they keep you apprised of when loans are facing challenges and anything like that you want to be aware of, not to panic you, but just so that you're aware and you can make decisions based on good and adequate information. Reputation, very important to work with someone who's both fair to the lenders and to their borrowers. So if someone is not fair to their borrowers, they're going to quickly lose business and there are going to be no loan opportunities left. So make sure they have a good reputation on both sides, working with both borrowers and lenders. And humility. Like I mentioned, this business has so many quirks. Every loan is different. A good broker that you work with or a fund manager will realize that they are still learning on every deal, and they will proceed with caution, that they're not going to get into deals that are going to put you at undue risk, but that they know their limitations and will make sure that the deal is a good deal. Make sure they have a strong team around them. And skin in the game is important, especially if you're working with a fund manager. Make sure that they have some stake in the game, preferably some of their own money in it, and that they are committed to their fund. Market forces are changing all the time, as mentioned, and you just going into any deal, you want to make sure you're aware of what the market is doing, both on a micro level in the market that you're working with and in a macro level as well, what's happening in general in the market. So here's some market forces that I have identified that, and they're a short overview of their impact on private lending and your decision-making. So right now, and in the last couple of years, Fed rates and mortgage rates have gone up significantly from where they were. And that has put a little bit of a damper on activity. Just the higher the rates, the harder it is to find deals that make sense. It's put a little bit of downward price pressure, and that depends on the market that you're in. Colorado, the prices have held pretty good. Out west, that may not be the case. So you just want to know what's happening in that market. Mortgage rates being higher have made someone who's flipping a property or building it and selling it a little bit harder, because it's harder on the back end to get financing, and have if the exit strategy is to refinance a loan, that has been harder as well. So high rates don't mean that kills the market, but just be prepared and build in a cushion. If you're making a loan on a property that's worth $100,000 today, it may only be worth $90,000 in a year, or you're not sure what it's going to be, but build in that build into your deal that in a year it'll be worth $90,000, and you'll feel good that you have built in that cushion, even if the market does hold up. Housing crisis and supply issues have created market both positives and negatives. On the plus side, with supply issues in housing, that has put upward pressure on prices, which is great when you're making a loan, when you know that your price and your value is going to stay high. So when you get to sell it, the value is still going to be there. So that's great. And if the if you'll have available takeout buyers, meaning there are there's less supply on the market, and you know if your house on the market, either a flip or a construction loan, will be competing with fewer other less supply in the market, which means you have a better chance of selling your property and keeping your price high on the properties that you're lending on. On the downside, higher prices are going to mean it's harder for investors to make a profit. So they're going to be fewer investors to work with, and that might put a damper on the amount of deal flow available. And with housing crisis and supplies issues, at least here in Colorado, and I've heard in other states as well, there are more and more government regulations on housing, which tends to make it harder for investors to make a living. And that's driving some of them out of the market and just makes it tougher in general to make a profit for investors. So be aware if you're in a state that's doing a lot of regulating of housing, and to be aware that could affect your investors, and there may be fewer of them to work with. Inflation is another market factor that we're working with. Obviously, that's been a factor for the last couple of years. On the plus side, that is making hard assets like real estate and notes on real estate that more desirable. If your money is tied up in cash, that's gonna, you know, your cash is worthless these days. So having a hard asset like a trust deed investment can provide a hedge for you. On the other side of it, be careful. Inflation makes prices of construction and rehab higher, and you wanna make sure you build that into your budgets, that there is enough budget available. And if you're in the past were satisfied lending $100 or $125 a square foot to build a house, now it's going to be more like $150 to $300 per square foot. So you just want to be aware of that in your budget considerations. Oops, sorry. And the effect of immigration right now, I put it in there because that is such a big force right now in our country. So the effects of that are a little bit unknown. If there are more people because of immigration, there's going to be more of a pressure on supply, which is going to keep prices high. But if an uncontrolled immigration in a city is driving people out of that city, that's going to bring down the housing needs, and that's going to put lower pressure on housing prices. So it's still kind of uncertain where that's going to end up, but just be aware that situation continues, and to really keep an eye on what's happening in your city or where you're investing because of that. So getting started with trust deeds. First of all, of course, you've got to identify a lending opportunity. put it out there that you're making loans, go to investor meetings to let investors know that you are looking to fund loans, and word should spread around pretty quickly that you have money to lend, or find a broker to work with, or find a pooled lending fund. Once you have identified the opportunity, do your due diligence, okay? Make sure that it's a loan you want to get into. Have ironclad loan docs. Make sure you work with a good attorney to put those together. Find a title company. Oftentimes the buyer and the seller in a deal will have agreed on a title company, so you'll have to work with that title company. But oftentimes you have to pick a title company if you're doing something like a refinance or a non-purchase. Make sure you get your title insurance, including a deal closer, lined up. Then contact and trust, inform them that you have found a deal and you have a trust deed investment that you're looking to fund, either by yourself, with a broker or a pool lending fund, and they will get you started on getting the necessary paperwork filled out to get that going and close the loan. I think I'm pretty well there at the end of my portion. I'm really looking forward to answering any questions that you have. And if you have questions after the presentation about trust deed investing in general, I would love to spend more time with you. If you have more questions about my company and what we offer, same thing, please give me a call directly and I'd love to spend some time with you. And I'll stay as long as you all would like to answer any questions that you have. I'm going to invite Tony back on.
Thank you, Dave. All right, well, let's wrap up our webinar, then we'll get into the Q&A. There is a question box. Feel free to type in your questions, and then we will take them as they come. So if you're interested in investing in trust deeds through a self-directed IRA, these are the three steps to get started. Step one would be open an IRA. You can do that at theentrustgroup.com. Step two is fund your account. And the three ways to fund your account, one is via transfer, moving money from an existing IRA into your self-directed IRA. Second would be a rollover, moving money from a previously employed 401k plan. Or lastly is making a direct contribution to your IRA. Once your IRA is funded, you go on to step three, which is make your actual investment. What's next for Entrust in our webinar series? If you need any more information on self-directed IRAs, please visit our website and also access our Learning Center. There is a wealth of information in the Learning Center. All right, we'll go right to our questions and answer session. Our first question, once the trust deed loan is made, do I or does ET manage it on behalf, and how is that done? I assume ET would be the Entrust Group. Once the loan is made, you know, self-directed IRAs, you're in full control of your investments. So you would have to update us and submit any payments back to us, and then we will reflect that valuations within your IRA.
And can I add to that, Tony?
Sure.
Yeah, so if you are doing a trust deed loan with a broker, the broker will handle all of the loan servicing, so you won't have to be involved with that. Doing it on your own, obviously you'd be doing the loan servicing yourself.
Thanks, Dave. Our next question is for you, Dave. I have heard that these loans can default even if you have first position on the property, and then it could take months or even years to resolve. In those situations, no loan interest is paid and the lender does not get their money back. It does not grow in those situations. Can you discuss default situations? He understands they are an exception, but they do happen.
Absolutely. It's part of the business that you have to be aware of. Hopefully they're not going to happen too often. And, you know, if you've done your due diligence, they generally don't. But what you want to try to do is it as you are, if you want to try to avoid the situation, if at all possible, and meaning keep very close tabs on how the loan is doing. If you're sensing that the payments are slowing down or they're running out of a budget, be proactively involved in trying to do a workout before it gets to the point of default. If you do get to the point of default, you would like to take as many alternative steps as possible before you foreclose, such as possibility of a deed in lieu of foreclosure, where they give you back the property, making a loan modification, where sometimes you might have to lend them a little bit more money to get the rehab done, or give them some time to get their payments caught up or to sell the property. So you want to try to take as many steps as you can to avoid foreclosure. If you do get into foreclosure, I mean, there are possibilities of actually selling the loan at a discount to another lender. We've never done anything like that, but that is a possibility. And depending on the state that you're in, foreclosures should not take years. It's possible they would. I have never seen a situation like that. Colorado is great that it only takes generally 4 months for the foreclosure from beginning to end to go through. You could wind up getting the property back, in which case you would either sell the property as is or possibly fix it up and sell it. So if you're working with a broker, hopefully you're working with someone who will guide you through the foreclosure process. They won't just leave you on your own and let you fend for yourself. But you do have to be prepared that that is a possibility. But again, the main thing is to take every step possible to not get into that situation and try to do everything you can to work it out with the borrower before it goes to foreclosure.
Great. Thanks, David. Another one for you. What is the average size loan for an individual, and is there a set interest rate?
The average loan can be all over the board. I would say you should expect in these days to have at least $100,000 available for a loan. There are definitely loans smaller than that do come up sometimes, but I would say typically in a loan, you're funding yourself anywhere between 100 and 250 would be an average. And loans can obviously can be any size above that as well. But I would say that would be about the average between 100 and 250,000 per loan. And what was the second part of that question, Tony?
Is there an interest rate?
Yeah, so interest rates, again, are going to be all over the board. I don't want to get into too much detail of what the rates are, but suffice it to say, with bank rates being, you know, for a line of credit now, still being 8 and 8.5%, mortgages being a little bit lower than that, trustee loans and hard money loans are going to be higher than that. You can't go too high or it's not going to make the deal work. So I think you can kind of interpolate from there what kind of rates you're looking at, above bank rates and, you know, sometimes approaching double digits or even in double digits.
Hey, Dave, I think the next slide has our contact information on it. You want to throw that up on the screen, please? So in case there's any questions they need to contact us for, or go to our contact page.
Oh, good. We'll leave that one up there.
Yep. Yeah, we'll keep that one up for now. So if there's any questions that we have to take offline, they can have our information. For example, this next one. Does this include selling real estate with owner financing in my self-directed IRA? Please reach out to me after the webinar and be happy to answer that question offline. Next questions. I want to make loans myself using my self-directed IRA and need to know how it's managed after the loan. We can discuss this offline as well in more depth, but as previously mentioned, all self-directed IRA investments are managed by the investor. So in this instance, if you make a loan out of the IRA, you're responsible for the management of the loan, and then we are responsible for the valuation of the IRA. Next one for Dave. What's a typical spread between the individual broker-based and pooled funding?
Can you repeat that, Tony?
Typical spread. It might be a typo. I'm assuming it's spread between the individual broker-based and pooled funding.
Oh, the spread and the return?
Let's take that offline if we can.
Yeah, let me answer that in general, because it is a really good question. I think, like I mentioned, the most income potential arguably is when you make your own loans, because you are getting the points. But, you know, again, with the downtime in between loans, mainly for that reason, it's really hard to say where you're going to make the most money between doing it yourself, working with a broker, or working with a fund. I would say, again, with the points, making it yourself, you have the most potential there. But when all the factors are thrown into the mix, it's kind of all over the place where the difference between what you're going to make between those three ways of investing. So I really honestly can't give you a good answer of where you're going to make the most. I hope that answers that. If there's a follow-up on spread that's about a different type of spread, I'm happy to answer that too.
Thanks, Dave. What is the minimum for a pooled investment?
That's going to be dependent on the lending pool. I'll give you, our fund has a minimum investment of $50,000. That tends to be on the average to low side. I have seen funds where the minimum, I have seen lower. I think I've seen 25,000. But I've also seen higher with a minimum investment of $100,000 or even more. So it's going to depend on the fund itself.
Great. Thank you. What documentation does Entrust require to make a real estate secured loan through the self-directed IRA? I would just need a copy of the promissory note. And then depending on what it's secured by, we will provide the information of what we would need for that security. Next for Dave, is there a lockup period? How does one exit a pooled lending fund?
Every pooled lending fund will have a lockup period, and that will depend on the fund. The average that I've seen is between a year and 2 years. Our fund is a year. It's very acceptable, though, to have a 2 year lockup period. And when you want to exit a fund or do a redemption of some or all of your shares, you make a request to the fund manager. Generally, they are going to fulfill those requests on a first come, first serve basis and as capital is available. So with a good performing fund, there's going to be a good turnover of loans that keeps money flowing and has money available to honor redemption requests. That's not always the case. So you should be prepared that if once you make your redemption request, there may be a little lag time in between when you make that request and when the fund manager can fulfill it. And sometimes it can be the same day. It's all dependent on the liquidity of the fund.
Thank you. You're getting a lot. Next one's for you. Does investing through a pool lending fund require accreditation?
Usually, yes. And there's different types of funds and requirements. There are some funds require accreditation that you can self confirm that you're accredited. That's a 506B. And then there's a 506C where the fund has to actually confirm your accreditation. So there are funds as well that do not require accreditation. And there's a whole different set of requirements for those fund managers. So they are kind of all over the board. You can find them all out there, and most that I have seen do require accreditation, though.
Thank you. Next one's a great question. How does Dave's company fit in with the Entrust Group? So right off, the Entrust Group does not promote, endorse, or recommend any investment product, or investment company. We're simply the administrators of the IRAs and provide education around the different asset classes in which a self-directed IRA can invest in. Dave and his company were invited on today's webinar because we felt they're a good source in this space, and some of our clients have invested with him in the past. There is no financial relationship or business relationship between the Entrust Group or Dave's company. Next question. If we want to invest in an LLC, how does this work? Perhaps I see you asked a few questions here. Please reach out to me offline and we'll go through every single scenario that you want to ask. There are ways to do this through an LLC, but at this time, I think it's best that we discuss that offline. Next one. If using a broker, what sort of fees are typical or expected?
Generally, a broker is not going to charge you any fees. I have seen where sometimes loan servicing does have a charge, other times not. And the broker is paid generally by the points charge. So like I mentioned, if you're doing a trust deed loan yourself, you can keep those points. A broker will generally keep the points and give you the full note rate, but that's not always true either. Some brokers will take a little bit of a spread between the note rate and what you get, but most of the time you're going to get the full note rate and the broker will work on the points.
Great. How are points divided between the lender and the investor? And how is the interest rate divided as well?
That is, I think that's what I just addressed. So
did I read the same question twice?
Yeah, that's fine though.
My mistake. How does one find a pooled lending fund?
That's a good question. As I mentioned, the different types of pooled lending funds, some of them can advertise, some of them cannot. The more that they can advertise, the stricter the accreditation requirements or the necessity to verify the accreditation. But you can look online for those. You can, I guess, do a search on hard money brokers. And the typical hard money broker will not only be brokering individual loans, but in their life cycle, they will eventually start a pooled lending fund. So most of the hard money brokers, the trustee brokers, will also have a pooled lending fund. We have a pooled lending fund, and there are a lot of great pooled lending funds out there. So I would say look for a hard money broker and go from there, and then ask them as well. They can give you leads on pooled lending funds too.
Thank you. How many homes has your company had to repossess, either through workout or taking it legally? What is the number as a percentage against your total loans?
Okay. Our company has done over 300 loans, and I would say it's about 1%, the properties that we've had to take back. So literally 3 to 5. We don't own any properties. We've never taken a property as an investment. We have had to foreclose a few times, but it has been the rare case, and we have usually been able to do a workout with our investors. But so that's when you're investigating a broker or a fund, that's a great question to ask, is their default rate and how many loans are successful compared to how many are not. And that should be a red flag or definitely a major consideration when you're considering who to invest with.
Thank you. Next one. Do you have future classes about using your own money to purchase a house to fix and flip and how that process works with Entrust? Entrust, we're not going to hold any webinars or any classes on personal money. You know, we are the IRA custodian, so everything is through IRAs. If you are using your personal money, that would be between yourself and Dave and his company. So I'm sure Dave would be happy to chat with you about that.
Absolutely.
Hold on, I lost my space. What kind of yields can one get in a pooled lending fund? Try to be as general as possible.
Yeah, I will. It's all over the board.
Depends on the product.
It does. And, you know, pool lending funds have a big factor that you're looking for is how much capital the fund is not using, which tends to drag down the total return of the fund. So you would like to try to get into a fund that does a good job managing its money, doesn't have too much unused capital sitting around. But if they don't have enough, they're not going to be able to fund deals, good deals, when they come to them. So there's kind of a balance there. But it's all over the board. I would say, in general, 5% and up. And that up is, it can be all over the board. How high above that 5%?
Great, thank you. Any questions about ROI, points, spreads, please contact Dave directly. That is not something that we can discuss live. When using my Entrust account, is an LLC worth forming for the long term? That's a personal preference. That's not something that we could advise or recommend that you do. There are scenarios where an LLC is beneficial, and there are scenarios when it's not beneficial. So it really all comes down to you as the investor, the assets you're investing in, and basically how much control you would like. Happy to discuss more if needed. Since it's an investment, how does the trust deed get filed with the local county assessor's office? What documents need to get filed?
Oh, so the trust deed is a mortgage. So it depends what state you're in. In Colorado, we use trust deeds where basically the ownership of the property is held by the public trustee. So that makes it, in my view, it makes it so much easier to do a foreclosure if it's needed, because it's not, the ownership of the property is not held with the owner per se. It's held with the public trustee until the loan is paid off. So in that case, you're going to need a deed of trust to be recorded with the public trustee's office and a promissory note. Those are the basic documents that you'll need. The only one that's recorded there is the deed of trust. In a mortgage state, it's a little bit different. There is no public trustee. The mortgage is recorded with the county recorder's office. The ownership of the property is in the hands of the owner, and it makes it a little bit harder when you're gonna, if you need to foreclose, you have to go through the mortgage process. And like I said, there's no public trustee there. So the process tends to be a little bit longer in a mortgage state, possibly more expensive. It may involve a court case, but in that case, the document you'll need will be a mortgage, which will be filed with the county recorder's office.
Thank you. Is the fund pool the same as a syndication?
A syndication, it's a little bit different. With a syndication, you and a number of investors are going to be putting in your funds together to purchase a property. In a syndication, you will know every deal that you're going to fund. It'll be for a specific property, and you will know which property that you're funding. In a pooled lending fund, your money goes in and is funding every deal that's already in the fund and all future deals as long as your money is in the fund. So there's no one specific property that you're funding or even one specific loan that you're funding for a property. Your money is going in to be spread around amongst all of the different loans within the fund. And that's the difference there.
Thank you. We have two more. Can the interest rate returned vary with time?
It's possible. In a pool lending fund, it's going to, every month, the return is going to be different depending on how much money is sitting unused, how the expenses of the fund, if a borrower is for whatever reason not paying in any particular month or deferring their payments, that's going to affect the return that a fund returns. In your own investing, when your name is on the note and deed of trust, that should be a steady rate of return every month. In general, you're going to be getting an interest-only payment at a fixed rate of interest. Occasionally, you'll have a note that is written with an escalation clause or a de-escalation clause where the interest rate changes, but generally speaking, the interest rate is going to stay the same in a trust deed investment.
Great. And then the last one, can we use a self-directed IRA or Roth to invest in real estate and have the gains tax free? Absolutely. Our self-directed IRAs can be traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, SEPs, simple IRAs, solo 401ks, and they all have the same benefits associated with those types of accounts. Keep it open really a second. Anybody has any other questions? Great. Well, we thank everybody for joining today. And if any questions do pop up in the meantime, feel free to reach out to either myself or Dave, and we'll be happy to take it offline and answer anything additional that you may have.
Thank you, Tony. And thank you, everyone, for attending. And I hope you did learn something from this and reach out with any other questions.
Have a nice day, everybody.